Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're back with the Scores NBA Draft Show with Chuck and Bill on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station and official radio home of the Chicago Bulls.
All right, so the fourth overall pick, and we're going to hear from Patrick Williams with a teleconference call in a moment, but Arturis Kardashovas, in his first pick as the vice president of basketball operations, makes his first move. As Patrick Williams, you just heard from the head coach of Florida State, Leonard Hamilton, gushing with praise, as one would expect, but he's got all the check marks regarding character, regarding versatility, regarding the ball handling skills, regarding passing, regarding shooting, and his defensive abilities guarding 1-5. So that's where we're at. Meantime, a lot's been going on from the last time we spoke. And so Rick Camp, who's actually going on the air here at 670 The Score from 10 until midnight, he's been tracking. And Rick, help me out. The last time, because we were in a conversation with Coach Hamilton, the last time we had, what was it, about the 18th pick? Is that right?
Yeah. So since we went to Coach Hamilton at 19, which went to Detroit as part of that three-team deal, which is now Luke Kennard going to the Clippers, you have Landry Shamet going to the Nets, you have Rodney Magruder, and the 19th pick, who ended up being Sadiq Bey from Villanova,
yep,
going to Detroit. Then with the 20th pick, Precious Achiuwa from Memphis ends up going to the Heat, and Tyrese Maxey, the point guard from Kentucky, goes to Philly for Daryl Morey's first pick, actually having a first-round pick for once with the Sixers.
Well, one thing about Achiuwa, he was actually the backup to Wiseman at Memphis, and he's listed at 6'9", but honestly, he plays a lot bigger than 6'9", and he had double-double. He averaged a double-double for Memphis at 15 and 10, big, long arms. And, you know, a lot of people are projecting him as another Bam Adebayo. We'll see. That's a lot to say at this point in time. But, again, that's a pretty good pick. And you said that Miami got him. Is that right, Rick?
Correct.
Okay. So that, you know, how about that? He, from day one, people said he's another Bam Adebayo. Who's he get picked by, Rick? The Miami Heat.
They got a type.
Yep, they do. It's that Heat culture. So I've got a question, Bill Wennington, about Miami. So they go to the finals, and Jimmy Butler was phenomenal. I think we'd all agree with that. He put the Heat on his shoulders. Good for him. Good for the Heat. But here, and I'm not taking anything away from Miami, they won the East. However, they had a lot of young players on that team. And in the bubble, they didn't have to go on the road, Bill. And I'm wondering, you know how, because when you're on the road, it's a different beast. And I'm wondering, you know, those young players didn't have to experience going on the road in a playoff environment. So what do you think we're going to learn about Miami this year?
Yeah.
Because there aren't going to be fans, at least in a lot of cities, for the start of the year.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we're going to see how this young team handles distractions. Now, I will say they got two things going for them. One, Pat Riley's the GM, and he doesn't put up with any nonsense. I really like Spoelstra as a coach. I think he's a bit of a disciplinarian himself. And you got Jimmy Butler, who will put up with no nonsense. And if guys aren't showing up to practice to perform and work hard, he's going to let them know about it. So I'm pretty sure they have set a good culture there and a great work ethic. And the guys will understand that if they go out and don't perform well, they're going to hear about it. And, you know, and you and I both know that Jimmy can get relentless. If he doesn't like what you're doing and doesn't agree with the way you're working or pushing yourself, he'll get on you.
Yeah, just another update. Rick Camp, did Maxey go to Philadelphia? Is that right? Tyrese Maxey?
Yes, he did.
You know what? He went, is that 21st overall?
Correct.
So he went 21st. Bill, let me tell you what. I think we're going to look at this situation in another year or two, and we're going to say this is another type of kid that say, wait a minute, he went 21? Are you kidding me? I think this was a great move by Philadelphia. I really do.
I agree. I got Sam Smith wrote had an article. I'll let this go first.
With the 22nd pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Denver Nuggets select Zeke Nnaji from the University of Arizona.
So Arizona with their second first round pick. And so Zeke Nnaji goes to Denver. All right. So go ahead and finish your train of thought there, Bill.
Sam Smith wrote an article that he had 10 sleepers in a draft, and Patrick Williams was one of them, actually the second one he mentioned. And Tyrese Maxey is the third one that he mentioned right there. So I agree with you. I think this is a kid that at 21, two, 3 years from now, we're going to be saying, wow, he was drafted at 21. That's pretty good. And he'll help Philadelphia right now. And again, Philadelphia is a team that's right there. They have talent. And I think a lot of people felt disappointed, and rightly so, that they didn't do as well this year. But he's a guy that's going to be able to help them, I think, right out of the blocks.
Well, Daryl Morey, you know what was interesting? Daryl Morey, when he left Houston, and if you listen to the press conference, one would assume that he was just going to take like a year off, come up for air, kind of exhale and see where he was at in the year. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple, 3 days later, he's running the Philadelphia 76ers. And we know that Daryl Morey, he is very impatient. He wants to roll up the sleeves and he wants to get after it. And sure enough, one of his first moves, Al Horford, 1 year in Philadelphia, Daryl Morey comes in, says, hey, you know what? I'm going to trade Horford to Oklahoma City. And as you know, Sam Presti and Morey have done business before, you know, with Paul and Westbrook. And so Danny Green is headed to Philadelphia. Al Horford with that big deal. He signed a four-year deal in the neighborhood of $110 million and just completed 1 year with Philadelphia, and it just didn't work. It just didn't work. So the Sixers saved some money on payroll and luxury taxes, and they get Danny Green, who's, you know, savvy. I mean, the guy has won. He won with the Spurs, won with the Raptors, and, you know, one with the Lakers, and now he's headed to Philadelphia. So
wouldn't it be interesting if Philadelphia wins a championship this year?
Yeah, how about that? And also Terrence Ferguson was in that deal, and he's headed to Philadelphia. He's a former first-round pick in 2017. He's pretty athletic, Bill. I mean, he's a really good athletic wing defender. So that's what's happened today. And again, you know, Ricky Rubio is headed to Minnesota, where he was a former high first round pick taken by David Kahn. That was the year, Bill, when Minnesota drafted what, 2 point guards in the top, what, 7 picks? I think Johnny Flynn of Syracuse, didn't he go 7? I believe he went 7, right?
He went 6 and Steph Curry went 7.
That's right. He went 6, yep. Curry went 7. And
oops.
Yeah, that's one of those deals you say, what did we do? That's why David Kahn isn't running a ball club right now.
Well, if I think there were 6 teams that missed out on Steph Curry.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, that's just the way it is with the NBA draft. It's not an exact science. It's not like 2 plus 2 and the answer is going to be 4 every single time. There are different things that motivate and unmotivate players as things go on. And I've, you know, coming in, Chris Mullin was drafted, you know, by Golden State, and he had a horrible rookie year because he just didn't fit in with the players, or the other players, some of the other players didn't fit in with him, and they gave him a hard time because he was coming in as a highly touted rookie. And, you know, he struggled a little bit his first year, but he obviously made up for that and figured things out. But there's a lot of things that it can affect players as they get into the league. And, you know, you want everyone to be successful.
Yes.
And hopefully they are. But sometimes they run into different issues and distractions that can hamper their progress.
Well, we're going to hear from Patrick Williams in a moment in the teleconference call with reporters. And when Arturas was named the executive vice president of basketball operations, you know, he talked about having players that can play multi positions, and this is exactly what Williams can do. He is really a modern forward in today's NBA. And you're going to hear from Patrick Williams out of Florida State in a moment. Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington with you on 670 The Score, the home of the Bulls.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's the Scores NBA Draft Show with Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station and official radio home of the Chicago Bulls.
That's right, Bulls ball. You gotta love it. I'm fired up. Preseason ball, regular season. Who knows, postseason? Yeah, bring it on. You'll hear all the games on the home of the Bulls, 670 The Score. This is Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, Cody Westerlund, and we got Rick Camp producing. We got Rich Wyatt spinning the dials. We got Adam Stasinski in the back, and our guest hotline joined us on the Alpamonte for Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Let's go to the teleconference now. Patrick Williams, fourth overall pick taken out of Florida State by the Bulls, just met with reporters.
Hi, Patrick. Congratulations. Patrick, at what point did you know that the Bulls were interested in taking you as high as number four tonight?
I worked out with the Bulls for pre-draft, and since then we kept in contact with the staff. But you never really know for sure. You kind of have an idea, but you never really know for sure. So I'm just blessed for Chicago to take me.
Hey, Patrick, I'm curious what you think your game, what part of your game will translate to the NBA level immediately, and what you think you might need to work on.
For sure, I think any part can translate immediately. I mean, of course, there's some adjusting to be done, but I think most of that adjusting is just the mental aspect, things to look for, things to look at, and things to be mindful of. But I think as far as my game, I think everything will translate.
What about some things that you think you might need to work on to contribute to the next level?
For sure, just being able to knock down open shots. I know that this year we might not have as many fans as usual, but definitely, you know, sold out crowds is something that you have to get used to, with the baseline being so close, and then you know, just the NBA 3-point line. I think I've done a great job of in this pre-draft of getting accustomed to it and you know, getting up lots of reps, but you can always get better at it. So,
Patrick, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Hey, why do you think there was so much late buzz about you the last couple of days? Do you think teams were trying to hide you, and word kind of got out that you weren't, you know, a 7, 8, or 9, that you possibly could be a top 4 or 5 pick? Or do you think it was more teams got a chance to actually interview you, see you, and kind of get a feel of what you're about?
Honestly, I have no clue. For me, the entire pre-draft and this, you know, entire quarantine, I've just been putting my head down and getting in the gym, you know, focusing on getting better each and every day. And then eventually, you know, everything ended up how it's supposed to. So I just focus on hard work, you know, make sure I'm in the gym and making sure whatever team takes me, I'm ready.
Hey, congrats. As you've talked to Arturas and the Bulls staff, what sense do you get for what they really want to see from you, how they want to lean on you to contribute early?
They kind of lean on me to be what I am, which is, you know, versatile. They're going to put, from talking to them, they're going to put me in different positions to be successful at different positions. They're going to allow me to guard, you know, 1-4, 1-5 possibly, and also play 1-4, 1-5 possibly. So the opportunity is mine. I mean, the opportunity is there, and I'm just here to embrace it and make the most of it.
Hey, Patrick, you know, we've gotten hints that you're like kind of friendly with Coby White. Just curious, how well do you know him? Where did you guys cross paths? That kind of thing.
So Coby White is actually from North Carolina. So just, you know, growing up all high school, I've been playing against him or with him, you know, in some camps, and he played for CB3 and I played for Team Nautic, which are both EYBL teams. So we played each other often, pretty much every summer. And coming into this pre-draft process, I was already close with him. So I just, you know, kind of leaned on him for questions or advice or anything really I needed for the pre-draft process. And it's actually kind of crazy that I get drafted to the Bulls. But I mean, yeah, that's my guy for sure.
Hey, Patrick, congrats again. Wanted to follow up on a question that was asked earlier about your kind of conversations with the front office and even with Billy Donovan. I was wondering, you know, how those conversations went throughout the pre-draft process. You mentioned some skills that they're looking for you to utilize. I'm wondering, did they mention anything about a role in terms of starting, coming off the bench initially, or kind of lineup configurations you might find yourself in, things along those lines?
So first of all, my conversations with them were basically just basketball conversations. We went to dinner or whether it was on the phone, it was just basketball conversations about schemes, or I'm asking questions about things to look for on the court, or they're asking me what I look at on the court, things like that. They asked me, you know, the position that I feel comfortable playing. So most of the conversations were just basketball conversations. We talked about basketball, talked about schemes, and pretty much everything basketball-wise. And What was the second question again?
It was just about, you know, how defined conversations that you guys had about your role are, you know, position-wise, you know, potentially starting or coming off the bench initially, things like that.
I pretty much told him that, you know, I'm there to contribute. Kind of the same mindset I had at Florida State. You know, I'm coming in to contribute any way I can, whether that's, you know, starting and playing big minutes, or whether that's coming off the bench and, you know, providing a spark, or whether that's handing out Gatorade. You know what I mean? I'm just there to contribute and give them my all. That's what I intend to do.
Appreciate it, man.
Patrick, usually the draft is in June, and you have the whole summer to do summer, you know, the summer teams. You're able to compete that way. Now, with the way the draft is so late, and you only have a couple of weeks before you have to report to camp, mm-hmm. how difficult would that transition be and leaping right away into NBA speed?
I mean, for sure, it's going to be different. It's going to be difficult just because, I mean, like you were saying, it's a quick turnaround. The league isn't easy, of course. I mean, it's the best basketball in the world, so it's definitely going to take some getting used to. But, you know, for me, and I think the rest of the rookies coming in, it's just being open ears, just having open ears and open arms to the vets or to the guys that have been there, to your coaching staff, because that's kind of what's going to get us through, just being able to listen. When usually you could play through your mistakes, this year you have to listen through your mistakes and you have to listen and not make those mistakes, because you don't have as much margin of error this year, because like you were saying, the season comes so quick.
Hey, Patrick, you know, obviously you came off the bench as a freshman at Florida State. What did you learn from that experience? And I assume that doesn't mean much to you now that you're drafted and going to the next level.
I mean, for sure, it just taught you how to do your part. Whatever your part is, whether that's, you know, coming off the bench or whether that's starting, playing a bit minutes, it just taught me to do my part and do it well. Started, you know, coming off the bench and I started with maybe 12 minutes. And I think you see that I did well with that 12 minutes. And then towards the end of the season, you know, those minutes increased. And I kind of just embraced that role. So, I mean, in the NBA, it's all about roles. You know, everybody can't be a LeBron James from the day one or Michael Jordan from the day one. So you got to kind of embrace your role and then do your role well. And then you're trusted with more. So.
Hey, Patrick, just in general, what are your impressions of the direction of the franchise and, you know, in light of the moves that they've made in the offseason with the new management team and a new coach?
I mean, they're definitely trending in the right direction. The guys that they have coming back, for sure, and then the vets that they already had there, I mean, they can only get better, for sure. And I think coming out, I just want to do my part to help the franchise, you know, get better and help us reach our goals as a whole.
I knew you mentioned about doing anything the organization asked or mm-hmm. Playing any position, but I'm sure you watched the NBA, very position-oriented league. You had to select what position you think you are. What is that position? Small forward, power forward, center, shooting guard? What would you say?
I just think wherever they put me, honestly, there's not really one that I'm better at than the other. I think in today's NBA, they're all kind of similar. They all kind of do similar things. So I think wherever they put me at is the position that I'll be good at.
Hey, Patrick, it's me again in Chicago with The Athletic. I had two different questions for you. One's about the pre-draft process. The other one's about your time at Florida State. I was on that call you had last week with international media, with the NBA, and you were real secretive about who you worked out for. Can you tell us now other teams that you might have worked out for?
I mean, for sure then I was trying to keep it, you know, all in-house. And I'm still trying to do that now. But, I mean, I definitely worked out for Chicago, which was obviously the right workout to select. So I'm just excited to be in shape. Chicago.
As a quick follow-up to that one, was Chicago the only team that you worked out for?
Trying to keep that in house, of course.
Okay, all right. About Florida State, you mentioned earlier that you credited the coaches for really pushing you and developing you and letting you play your game there, not trying to pigeonhole you. What exactly did they do that allowed you to be successful and flourish the way you play the game, as opposed to them trying to get you to be something you're not?
They just let me do whatever I could. Kind of in practice and preseason, they kind of saw what I could do and what I couldn't do. And then, you know, when the season came around, they just let me do whatever I could, which was multiple things on the court, coming off ball screens, setting ball screens, that type of thing, just having the ball in my hands and also playing without the ball. So that was big.
Thank you, man.
Patrick, you're only 19. You just turned 19. You're very, very young. Coming to Chicago, a huge city, a lot going on here. Are you bringing in a family member to live with you to, you know, help you make this transition to being in the big city of Chicago?
I am bringing someone with me. He's not exactly a family member, but, I mean, he's been a friend of mine since ninth grade. He actually trained me when I was in high school. So he has basketball background, and, he'll be coming with me to Chicago.
What's going through your mind coming to Chicago? What's it like thinking about coming here, playing here, a team that's had a great past but needs to have a better future?
Just do your part. Come in, you know, work as hard as I can, and be ready whenever my name's called, whatever opportunity I get. Just be ready to take advantage of it.
Patrick, it's such a quick turnaround just with the schedule and everything. How do you expect that to affect your development and progress and kind of what you can do on day one when the NBA season starts December 22nd, only going to start training camp on December 1st?
For sure. I mean, this year, for me and the rest of the rookies, it's going to be about who asks questions, who learns the best, and then who has a good vet, you know, who takes them under their wings and kind of grooms them. So because you don't get much time on the court to actually learn stuff. So you gotta learn stuff from listening. So just when I get to Chicago, I just want to be around, you know, the guys as much as possible, just learn as much as I can.
All right, so there's the voice at teleconference call right here on 670, The Score, featuring the Bulls. Number one pick, fourth overall, Patrick Williams. Bill, your thoughts after listening to the young man out of Florida State?
Well, it sounds like he can do a whole lot of things for the Bulls. And I think he's right. He can fit in where the Bulls need him to fit in right now. And he can do a wide variety of things. I think he'll be very versatile. And he's definitely going to be able to help this team. And again, he's young. I think he's still coming into his own. He said he's the second youngest player in the draft this season. So he's going to get stronger. He's going to start to understand the game a lot more, and he's going to hone his skills even more than he has already. So there is going to be a lot of things he can do to help this franchise get better.
All right, Bill, you know, we have been monitoring the information that's been coming off from different media NBA reporters on the injury today to Klay Thompson, who was playing in Los Angeles against former and current NBA players. And according to Yahoo Sports' Chris Haynes, the fear is now that Klay Thompson has suffered a significant Achilles injury, and an MRI is scheduled for tomorrow. And, you know, Bill, this is really, really unfortunate because, you know, this guy has battled back from an ACL and now he's got an Achilles.
Yeah, that's too bad. If that's what it is, that's bad. Achilles injuries can be, I mean, you can come back from them, but they're tough. And obviously you need your Achilles to run up and down and jump. So prayers go out to him. I hope it's something that's not as serious as we're all thinking right now.
Wow, that would be devastating for Golden State as well, because, I mean, they were looking at, okay, we get these guys back, we're going to have a run, we have the second pick overall, which they drafted Wiseman, the 7-footer out of Memphis, So, you know, we're adding piece by piece. But once the Splash Brothers reunited, you know, we'll be right back in the thick of it and challenge the Lakers and the Clippers. But now, So, Bill, last night you and I were talking about Peyton Pritchard, the guard, the point guard out of Oregon.
He just got picked by Boston.
Yep. Yeah. This is a Celtics Danny Ainge pick, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, I like Pritchard. We talked about him, and you said it. You didn't think he'd last in the second round, and there he goes at the 26th pick. But he's been in a big time program. Oregon has had some great teams, gone far in the NCAA tournament, and just a well rounded point guard, and I think a great playmaker. And I think he's going to be really make a name for himself in this league.
Yep, I love him. I absolutely love him. And he went 26th, and that's probably where he should go. But I really think he's a great fit for the Boston Celtics. No question about that. So we are going to recap what we know as far as some of the trades. And let me just tell you this. You know, there was a lot of movement leading up to this draft. We have to make sure and inform you this deal with Milwaukee and Sacramento for Bogdan Bogdanović is off. It was a sign and trade. He would not agree to it. And so he is a restricted free agent when free agency begins on Sunday. It's going to be very interesting to see teams with cap room, if they want to go after this young man, and he's really, really good, do they front load this deal to prevent Sacramento from matching what they do, maybe a sign and trade? I'm not sure. But this, I'm sure, derailed Milwaukee. Bill, if you were on paper looking at, you know, Bogdanović, and then on top of that, you know, you're looking at Jrue Holiday, you're thinking, wow, this is pretty good.
Yeah, I was really excited for Milwaukee because that really, I think, put them in contention for getting to the NBA Finals and challenging whoever's in the West. But, you know, this sets them back a little bit, but I'm sure they're still going to try to make something happen. I don't know if it's with Bogdanović, but he would have been a perfect fit for them. A shooter that's got a big body and can play multiple positions out there on the floor for him. And I think he would have complemented what Giannis can do on a floor. Absolutely a tough break for them.
Yeah, because, Bill, I mean, you weren't giving up Middleton at all. You were just adding on to what you have.
Exactly.
So, and as much as I love DiVincenzo, I mean, to get Bogdanović, you say, you know, we got to make this deal. So we've got another 17 minutes or so until 10 o'clock, and then Rick Camp is going to take you until midnight, and the Bulls will pick 44th. And I'm really, you know, Bill, when we come back, let's talk about the 44th pick and what we're going to expect out of Arturas and Mark at a moment. You're listening to live draft coverage on the home of the Bulls, 670 The Score.
Baseline cut. Sensational dunks of this ball game.
Yeah, and let me tell you what, you're going to throw it near the rim and a lot of posters and facials on the part of Patrick Williams, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to just incredibly abuse players around the cup when he elevates above the 10. Chuck Swirsky, along with my main man, Bill Wennington, a part of our broadcast tonight. Again, Rick Camp, our producer, Rich Wyatt, along with Adam Stasinski, just doing a phenomenal job. And Rick will be taking you through from 10 to midnight right here on the home of the Bulls, 670 The Score. So, Bill, we've got about 10 minutes or so. What stood out in the first round, in your opinion?
What stood out in the first round? I think it's gone pretty much the way people thought, especially early on, the way they thought it would go. I don't think there's too many surprises right there, at least in the top four picks right now. I like the Bulls pick. I think it can happen. Nothing else has really surprised me so far. A lot of trades, a lot of movement going on. That's been a little unusual for draft day, but this year's an unusual year with the COVID and not being able to go and watch a lot of players play in a normal environment.
Yeah. You know what, Bill, what surprised me, and again, I throw myself into this. I'm immersed with watching tape and reading a lot of stuff. And after a while, you don't know what is out there for the sake of, okay, let's throw something against the wall. Or, you know, you get agents talking, you get teams misdirecting information to throw off other things, because all these GMs and all these scouts read the same thing that we're reading, Bill, on these basketball websites. But you know, if you were to look at the last, let's say, 30 days of basketball information, we had Denny Avdija going maybe 2 to Golden State, 4 to the Bulls, 5 to Cleveland. You know, people were looking at this guy as a top 5 pick, and he went number 9.
Yeah, that's you're right. That is a shocker. I think a lot of people thought he would go a lot higher than he did. But then again, you just don't know. How much did people see him overseas? Did they think he could? Is he a consistent enough shooter to compete at the NBA level and be a spot-up shooter or a guy that can create his own three-point shot? Because that's what a lot of teams are running now. And so sometimes, as Coach was saying before when we were talking earlier, that sometimes you can overanalyze young players, and that sometimes is a fault because you don't know how they're going to develop when they get into the NBA.
Yes, and again, we wish the young man well. Drafted 9th overall by the Washington Wizards. And Bill, you know what? After we get past this draft and then we have free agency, and again, a lot of teams, there are about 4 or 5 teams with a lot of money, including Atlanta. But it's not the greatest free agent class next year, big time. But I'm going to be interested to see what deals can be consummated in a very short period of time, because, Bill, you know, you think about this, we've got training camp starting, what, in early December, is that right?
At December 1st.
And the first preseason game is in that window. Nothing's been released yet, but teams will play, what, maybe 2, 3, 4 preseason games in that window of, what, December 11th through the 15th or 10th through 17th, whatever it is. And then we've got the regular season starting December 22nd. So things are, it's going to happen in it's going to happen in a flurry.
Yeah, a lightning speed, you know, and especially for these young men, getting drafted right now. I mean, their life's going to change pretty quick. Where normally they'd get drafted and have a couple of weeks before they had to report to a training camp to go to maybe summer league and get an opportunity to play and kind of learn the system a little bit before the season, and then a whole summer to kind of figure out what they have to do. But now they're going to get thrown right into the fire and have to be able to play, you know, within a month, the season's going to start.
All right. Well, we want to thank everyone involved. Bill, fantastic job. As always, you know I love you, and I will see you when I see you.
Yeah. As far as the Bulls' next pick, though, you mentioned that. I just looked, the kid from France, Theo Meldon, I think he'd be a great fit for us, but right now, they got him ranked number 1 and the best available, so I don't know if you'll be there for him.
All right, well, we'll see. Rick Camp standing by. Bill, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Great job.
All right. Good job, Charlie. Take care, buddy.
All right, so that's Bill Wennington. This is Chuck Swirsky. We have Rick Camp. Rick, thank you very, very much. Great job. Adam Stasinski, Rich Wyatt, always a pleasure. And this is Chuck Swirsky. And next time, we'll talk hoops. I guess we'll probably be preseason ball. Whenever that is, and against what teams, we don't know. But in the meantime, I loved having a conversation with you over the last 4 hours right here on The Score. Many thanks to Mitch Rosen, Rich Wyatt, again, Rick Camp, Adam Stasinski, thank you. Always a pleasure. Cody Westerlin, thank you. And we will have more Bulls Ball coming up in a few minutes with Rick Camp. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.